I'm excited for all of you confirmants and for you taking this step, and I celebrate it with you. And I'm excited about this sermon and this scripture text because it picks it up where Jesus is almost your age. Jesus is 12 in this text. You're a year or two or so older than that. But this is the age of accountability. And what's happened prior to this text is Jesus and his family are traveling from Nazareth down to Jerusalem for Passover, along with a couple hundred thousand other people, huge crowds. And they start back afterwards. They get partway home to the first night away, or first night on the journey back, and they can't find Jesus. So they come back to Jerusalem, and they find him. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. Now, confirmands, if you got lost and your parents came to find you, what would be the first thing they would say to you? What are you doing? Why did you do this to me? That's what Jesus' mom said. Son, why have you treated us like this? See, your parents aren't weird or unnormal or strange. Mary said the same thing. Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you, and it's all your fault. They didn't say that, but I love this. I mean, it's so human. Why were you searching for me? He asked. And sometimes when your parents come at you and say things like, what were you doing? And you're incredulous, like, what are you thinking, Mom and Dad? Why are you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. And then he went down to Nazareth. Now listen to this. Then he went down to Nazareth with them. Would you say that, confirmations, would you say this out loud with me? And was, I didn't hear you. Was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Then when Jesus turned 30 years old, this was his calling. This is when he began to fulfill his mission. And to make that public, there was a public baptism. I think in that sense, it was the purpose of the baptism. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And he was, as he was praying, heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son. You are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. Now you confirmands know that when I spoke to you, I said, now some of you may be called into ministry. And I want to reiterate that. This might be a time when you're feeling God's tug on your life to become a pastor or a church leader. I hope you'll keep that in mind as we go through this. Now, would you pray with me? Almighty God, we thank you for this Sunday and Confirmation Sunday and each confirmand and each of us here. Speak to us through this scripture. May our words be your words. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, do y'all have access to an insert, bulletin insert with the sermon notes on it? Hopefully you will. I'd like for you to follow this. And it's wonderful when it's so obviously the sermon just sort of evolves out of the text, out of the scripture lesson. So what I'm doing is just taking the scripture and letting it, and asking the question, what does it say to us? And so I got these 7 points. And so the first is, be at home in God's home. Jesus said to his parents, didn't you know that I had to be in my father's home? I want every person here, and particularly every confirmand, to feel at home here on this campus. Many people have been praying over this property, 67 acres, at every square inch, people will feel some sense of connection with God, whether it's on the soccer fields or the basketball court or the youth building or the memorial garden or the chapel or here or in a classroom, that you and I will be at home. Jesus said, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's home? And I want you to feel at home here because, so you can have a safe place in addition to your own home. Why? Because it's a wild and wonderful world out there. It is a wonderful world in many, 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 many ways. And I'm not the kind of preacher who say, oh, you have to be afraid of the world. I'm the kind of preacher who say, it's a wonderful world and you can embrace it and go for it. And there's so many positive things about it. It's also a wild place. And there's so many scary, risky kinds of things. When I was a kid, when I did something bad, my neighbors would tell mom and dad before I got home. But that ain't necessarily. And today, you could do something. You're walking on the edge, and wow, you can just fall. You need a home. This is a home. And I hope you feel at home here in this place. It also, the neat thing about home is, just like here, you've got lots of aunts and uncles and people, all kinds of different generations. It's a multi-generation. I'm so grateful our church is multi-generation. Yesterday, we had a district meeting down at the Villages down by Leesburg. If you've ever been there, everybody's retired. It's one demographic. That church has no nursery. It barely has Sunday school classes. It's a big church. Lots of people come. I just couldn't imagine being a pastor of one demographic. But here in this church, you've got all the way, and I'm so grateful. And confirmands, you've got people around you who are cheering you on who are a lot older than you. You have the privilege of being in a congregation where there are people 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Hey, Eric Erickson, can you hear me? Stand up, would you? Eric Erickson is 99 years old. He's going to be 100 this year. I don't know if you know for sure what that means, but to be in a family where you get to experience people of all different ages and stages. Stephen Covey wrote an important book a number of years ago, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. It says, begin with the end in mind. If you're only among your peers, you aren't going to know what the end is. But if you look at Eric Erickson, you get to know Eric Erickson or me or somebody else. What I want to be like. It's so powerful, more than you can even imagine. Jesus was at home. And part of being at home in the church is a link to the past. Our architecture, we have stained glass windows. We have a cathedral-like ceiling. We also have screens and technology. And we try to balance all of that out. But in this fast-changing world, it's good to have a link to the past. I hope you'll call this place your home. You'll be at home in God's home. That's Jesus was. Number two, embrace the mess. Thinking Jesus was in their company, they traveled on for a day. I mean, even the Holy Family lost their child. It's like I mentioned this book a few weeks ago by John Ortberg. Everybody's normal till you get to know them. And in your family, everybody knows you and you know. Now, you could try this. When your parents come into your room and they say, what a mess. Say, hey, Reverend Dad said, embrace the mess. So you could try that. What I'm trying to say is, it is not a perfect world. And there's something therapeutic about us not trying to make everyone around us perfect. Now, parents want to do their best job, and you want to do what you can. But there's a sense that I have that in the messiness of life that Jesus grew up in, I mean, he got lost in this deal. Sometimes you just need to let it happen. Accept it. Move on. I wonder if some of you need to embrace a certain messiness to life. Let your kids be kids, that sort of thing. It's a tricky thing. I hope you will. Number three, share freely in the context always of love and respect. I love that Jesus and Mary have this give and take. Mary's free to say, out of love, why have you treated us like this? And Jesus comes back at her and says, didn't you know? I had to be at my father's home. You know, disagreements are going to come. They're just a part of relationships, part of parenting. And a number of years ago, I'll never forget this study. A number of years ago, there was a study done on parents and teenagers who were in somewhat of a conflictual situations. And so they asked the parents, would you write down your hopes and dreams for your child? And they wrote them down. The children didn't see it. Then the teens, what are your hopes and dreams for yourself? They wrote them down. These almost matched perfectly. But there was some miscommunication in the process. And if you can learn to give love and respect and disagree in that context, because it's a part of growing up to have different views than your parents. If you could just hang in there till they're 30, then they come back to see everything just like you saw it. Well, that's not entirely true, but it's pretty close. But that isn't the case generally when you're in your teen years. Learn from Joseph and Mary. Disagree with love and respect. Number four, honor your elders and obey your parents. I'm not going to mess around with this. You just need to obey your parents. I mean, that's the truth. And I know your parents. They're good folks. And they mean the best for you. And they love you. And they want what's best. And not only that, learning to obey your parents helps you learn to obey God. And that's really valuable. But if you're... that's just the way it is. That's really important. And all of us here, whether our parents are living or not, to obey our honor our elders. This past Friday, I tried to take Friday off. I came, though, Friday to meet with Tom Farmer. He was leading the, Reverend Tom Farmer, retired out of Largo, great Methodist pastor, leading the Adult Alert Bible Study. Great, great experience. Then came to the Alert Luncheon, listened to the Sharm Burns give her talk to the Alert folks about her and she and four other women backpacking the whole Appalachian Trail. Amazing people in this church. And then I left and I called Dean Hodge. I called Marjorie and said, can I come by and see Dean? Now, 40% of you here don't know who Dean Hodge is. Probably none of you confirmants. You may never know who Dean Hodge is. But Dean Hodge was the church administrator for many years back in the, 70s, 80s, over on 8th Avenue. Dean has cancer throughout a lot of his body. I don't know how long he has to live. He's in a hospice bed at his home. And I came up to Dean and I grabbed his hand and I said, Dean, on behalf of every member of Trinity now and every future member of Trinity, I want to thank you for what you did for this church and for what you mean to us. And we cried together and I said, on behalf of my own grandkids who are growing up in this church, thank you, Dean Hodge. And there's something happened to me in that process of honoring a man who now is in the latter weeks of his life, but who gave so much. It's good for us to honor our elders, our traditions, those things that are in the past. I love contemporary. I'm glad David's doing such a great job with the contemporary service. I think all that's really good. I think, too, we need these strong traditions. We celebrate Lent. We celebrate Easter. We celebrate Pentecost. We celebrate the Creed. We hold on to the things that hold on to us when life kind of shifts around. Confirmands, obey your parents. Number five, choose to treasure rather than distress. That's a choice. Whether you're going to treasure wonderful things or you're going to stress about things you can't control. I mean, it's a choice. His mother treasured all these things in her hearts. We can dwell on the good things like Paul tells us in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure, beautiful, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. Think on these things. Treasure them. Some of us are predisposed to look at what I could have done or should have done or what I didn't do and stress over this, that, or the other, or what's just not quite right. Treasure the things. Somebody sent me an email from T.D. Jakes, a great African-American pastor in either Dallas or Atlanta. Huge church. Very dramatic. He has a thing called Letting It Go. I thought of it, DJ, when DJ sang on Eagle's Wings and Letting It Go. I'm going to ask you to do what David asks you to do sometimes and help me by responding when I get to it. You just say, let it go. I think you can handle that, all right? If you're holding on to the past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, see your worth, let it go. If somebody's angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, if you're involved in a wrong relationship, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, if you're stuck in the past, the battle is God's. Do you need to let something go? Do you need to treasure rather than hold on? I hope God will help you do that. Number six, decide to grow well. Devise a plan that God can bless and grow with God. One of the things I picked up from my son on this video about financial peace, he had all the concepts, but until he had a plan. Somebody said, one of their friends took financial peace and said, you know, I always had a dream. Now I've got a plan. Decide to grow well. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, that is character, and favor with God and people. Confirmands, right at this age, why don't you decide from now on, I am going to grow well. Here's my plan. I'm going to grow with God. So, so important for you. My prayer for you as I've thought about confirmation is, I know you're going to hear a lot of voices in your head saying, do this. Try that, go here, go there, lots of voices. My prayer is that you'll hear that one voice above all the other that says, hey, grow in wisdom, character, favor with God and other people. Number seven, when Jesus was 30, he was baptized. Live with 2 days in mind. This is what Martin Luther said he did. I have 2 days circled on my calendar, today and that day. But that day is when he stands before Jesus, before God. And he said, God, help me to live today for that day. And my prayer is that whenever any of you stand before God, you might hear God say, you are my child, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. I believe God feels that for you. And I have a sense that when you receive Jesus into your life, as my son said, it's not if, but when you receive, because why wouldn't you? You're able then to hear God say, you are my child. I love you. I'm so pleased with you. And that'll give you strength and power. Would you pray with me? God, this is a holy and sacred day. Confirmation is a holy and sacred time. May all of us hear these words. May we live today for that day. May we sense you saying to us as we give our lives to you, you are my child, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. And in that strength, help us to decide to grow well and to treasure those things. Obey our parents, honor our elders, and to be at home with you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.